Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, hit the damn theme music, Figgy. Hardo Nick Caserio yesterday. Intense. Play a little game. Justifiable Hardo or unjustifiable Hardo when it comes to Caserio? Start with Nick Caserio talking about the offseason. This is Caserio talking about the offseason that has been up to this point 1 week before the NFL draft.
The offseason and some of the things that we've done, I mean, frankly, it's kind of laughable. I mean, it's so early. I mean, we haven't done anything. So what happened last year has no bearing on this year. So we're focused on right now. We're focused on the present. We're focused on improvement. And I think the players' focus is just on their attitude, their effort, and their commitment to being a good player. So outside of that, I mean, the rest of it is just a bunch of garbage. Hopefully we've improved the team. We're really not going to know if we have or not until training camp. I would say, and honestly, I think the division, when you look at what the other teams around us have done a great job. So, you know, hopefully we can keep pace with what's going on in division as well.
All right. I mean, I guess it's somewhat justifiable, but man, are you proud of what you've done?
Exactly.
I mean, do you feel like the work that you put in, obviously sometimes it doesn't go according to plan, but I mean, at least make me feel like bringing in Danielle Hunter, bringing in Danico Autry, who you call a football-playing Jesse, bringing in Stephon Diggs, making all these moves, Shaiir, at least convince me that you think you've made the squad better, my friend. But it is justifiable. That's probably the right mindset. It's really the mindset he's always had.
Nah, hell no, that's not justified. It's fine to have that internally and to like want to project that attitude to your players and your coaches and to want to feel like, hey, the outside noise doesn't matter. Don't eat the rat poison, as Nick Saban would say. But this is Hardo. This is not justifiable Hardo to me. He's like the basketball player that goes for 30 and talks about how bad he played. Or like the quarterback who throws for 400 yards in a game and you win the game and he's talking about the pick that he threw or a read that he didn't get. It's like, nah, man, get out of here, man. You went out and signed a badass at edge. You went out and traded for an accomplished running back when you didn't necessarily have that before. And then you capped it off with a Stephon Diggs trade. It might not work out. It might all bomb. It might all bust. That's entirely possible. But today, it looks good. It's a 30-point game. It's a 400-yard game. It's four.
Damn,
it's
you three. Think this is a 40? Think they've gone for 40 this offseason?
I think they're going for 30.
Okay, 30.
I think
they're going
for 30 or 400 or 300, 400-yard game, three touchdowns, whatever. It's a good game, dog. The offseason game that it is for what it is, this is good. You ain't got to be like that, dog.
I think it's Caserio, though. This is the Caserio.
I think it is genuine.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, he's intense.
I don't think it's fake Hardo.
He's intense.
Look at this Hardo.
Yeah, I do think it's unjustifiable. Get out of here. Go ahead and get yourself
I'll
some
I'll just
flowers.
Never forget him after that Browns game. I realized, okay, this dude's gassed up, man.
Yeah.
He's gassed up.
Yeah.
Punched the hell out of my hand, man.
Yeah, he was. He's here for the games. He's here for the actual action,
yeah.
Apparently.
So I'll say justifiable. You say unjustifiable.
Nah, justifiable.
Here's Nick Caserio on competitiveness as we play justifiable or unjustifiable Hardo.
70% of the games last year were within one score in the fourth quarter, and then 42% of the games were decided by 6 points or less. Really, what it shows is how competitive this league is. So the margins are very small, so we have to do whatever we think we can do to put ourselves in a position to at least have an opportunity. And even going back and looking at our team last year, I mean, what is it, 9 or 10 games were one score games, whatever it was. So the margins are very small. There's a lot of great players, there's a lot of great coaches in this league. So, you know, we're just trying to put ourselves in a position where we have an opportunity to compete. In the end, it's going to come down to how well we execute on Sundays. So, and ultimately, it's going to come down to the work and the effort that we put in. So,
see, here's my thing there. And I think this is, of all the discussions that we have, whether it's on the text line, whether it's on the streets, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on Twitch, whether it's on the stream, whatever. I feel like the one conversation that is the most one-sided when it comes to talking about a football team is, well, you know, if we would have won this game or we would have won that game, then, you know, then who knows what happened. Like, you'll hear it, like, the Carolina Panthers, well, if they could have made that one stop, the Atlanta Falcons, man, if they could have just made that one stop in that instance, then we would be this. And then it doesn't get looked at the other way around, where if Indianapolis doesn't drop that pass, if the Cincinnati Bengals don't throw the interceptions in the red zone with Joe Burrow, if they actually tackle Noah Brown, if
anything goes wrong on that last drive against Tampa Bay.
Yeah, Tampa Bay, a number of things could go wrong, which was magical.
Right.
A lot of times this kind of just gets looked at a certain way. But I agree. Hell, if Dalton Schultz doesn't catch that pass against the Titans that Case Keenum threw blindfolded.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of ways to kind of look at it. And I agree with what Nick says. And it does seem to be the case. It doesn't seem to be like a flukish thing. And that's the other thing. Like, you kind of roll your eyes because it works both ways. So I'm not trying to have my cake and eat it too. But it's always funny when a bad football team says, well, you know, and we saw this with the Texans in 2020. Well, you know, they were within one possession in 9 of their 12 losses. And
but they lost.
Okay. Yeah, but, I mean, that's cool.
Yeah.
And you see it all the way. But I think this is justifiable, Hardo, and I like looking at it that way because it does feel kind of like the most one-sided conversation that's had consistently over the course of a football season.
Well, never mind the fact that consistently losing or losing a lot of close games is the sign of a bad football team.
True.
Or the
you
sign
find
of,
ways.
Yeah, like we don't, like we kind of just bypass that part of it too. Like, oh, all of these close games or all of these close moments. Well, if that's consistently happening, that should be telling you something. But yeah, man, aside from that, like I actually like that he's highlighting how competitive, because the NFL, I feel like, more than anybody or more than any league, is hyper-competitive. So I'm 100% with him on this, but it's way too much Casario Hardo energy for me. Way too much Casario Hardo. But you know, I'll tell you this too. You know what this is the cousin of? You know what this is the cousin of, this Hardo energy?
Uh-oh.
It's early guy. The two-sided, hey, all of these close games, if we had done this or if we had done that, it's the same thing as this early guy. The drive was talking about it yesterday. It's early guy is never it's early if you're 14-6,
right?
Instead of 6-14.
It is the one sided.
Yeah.
Thing.
If
yeah.
you're 14-6, no, that's not early. We're a damn good baseball team.
Yeah.
6-14. It's too early. Got a hole of breaks and all of that kind of thing.
Those are the two one sided combos in both sports.
Yeah,
that's a good point.
These are cousins for sure.
Yeah. And I the other thing that I thought Casario brought up that I really strongly agree with is the division. I mean, I think it's a three-team race like crazy. I mean, and it's – I'm dismissing Tennessee. Perhaps that's dangerous. You never know.
I'm dismissing them as a division contender. I'm just not dismissing them as an easy out.
Yeah, because I don't know about their coach. Like, if you tell me that Callahan is Shane Steichen 2.0, then all bets are off. But I don't know their coach well enough to, like, as comfortably dismiss them as I would have before. So, but I do think it's a three horse race, and I don't know, you know, if they hadn't won that game against Indy, would I be thinking different? I don't know. I think sometimes we become prisoners of the moment, but the reality is, and you said it best, is the bad teams find ways to lose those games. The good teams, they find ways to win them. And the Texans last year, regardless of how close stuff was and all that, they were definitely a good team.
Let me ask you this, because I don't know if we discussed it, and I just thought of it as you were talking. This time last year, we can agree Jacksonville was the consensus favorite and best team in the AFC South.
Yeah.
Right? That was not debatable.
Everybody else had a rookie QB.
All right. Can we also agree now that the Texans have overtaken them after doing what they did? We can agree on that?
Yeah, I would say that if we're going around all the season previews, like the national and all that, I would say the Texans are probably going to be a popular pick.
Okay, wanted to establish that. Okay, so this is my question. Who's third? Did Indianapolis also, did they get jumped twice by two teams, or is Jacksonville still the second best team in this division?
I think people would probably say Jacksonville, but I do think that Indy, I heard Clint lay this out the other day. I thought it was a good point. I mean, they didn't have Jonathan Taylor half the year. He was kind of ticked off. And then we kind of got a real, 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 real large taste of what it looked like when he was doing his thing on the field.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
They've got a coach.
They got a coach. They got their core is back. Their secondary was – I don't think we paid enough attention to it, but in that final game, their secondary was more depleted than the Texans' O-line.
Yeah.
So they had their issues, so – yeah, I don't know. Indianapolis and Jacksonville, I think it could go either way, but I would say people probably are leaning towards Jacksonville.
Probably so, but I just think it's fascinating that they went, in 1 year's time, went from consensus best team in a bad division to we're not exactly sure where they fall in the pecking order after the Texans, whether it's second or three. I think it's still debatable. They're probably second, but I think it's at least a conversation, whereas it wasn't a year ago. I mean, that's how quickly the thing can turn.
And the Titans right now, I mean, and the thing about Indianapolis, Tennessee, I mean, they could be – I mean, they're kind of in the range where you can have a magical draft, because you look at teams that have, like, really good drafts where you take really significant pieces in the first or second round. Like, you normally want to be drafted in the early to mid of the first, and if you're in the – and then get that second. Because we saw when Chris Ballard was, like, the toast of the league, they got – Quentin Nelson, and then they got Shaq Leonard.
Yeah.
Like, in a matter of two rounds. And you saw Detroit last year. They got Gibbs, and then they got Laporta. So Tennessee is kind of lurking, and as is Indianapolis, they're kind of lurking in that area where you have two of the top 40 picks or whatever, and just a really, really solid two-piece combo. Texans had it last year.
Yeah.
And hell, the crazy thing is they gave up their second round pick, and I'm not even counting Will Anderson. I'm just talking about CJ and Tank Dell, like just that day one, day two immediate impact. When you do that, it can change a lot of things.
But see, everything that you just laid out right there is, for one, why I'm not willing to just write off Tennessee as an easy out. I don't think that they're as good as the Texans, and there's three teams that I do still think are better than them in the division. But I'm not willing to write them off for everything that you just laid out. And I mean, honestly, man, like. To me, it says a lot, too, that the Texans, you know, they're going – not that the draft is a non-event, but they're ready to play already. Like, they've built their team, like, based off of the way things have gone already. They're already ready to play. And to me –
they could use some depth.
The draft is going to help them along the margins and give them some depth.
Yeah, and Nick Caserio spoke on Big Splash Moves, the ones that you previously mentioned – that we're playing justifiable or unjustifiable hardo. I think we both say the last one was justifiable.
Yes.
Very much so. I think we might agree on this one, but I don't think it's going to be the same answer as the previous. Here's Nick Caserio. In fairness, he was asked, kind of put in a weird spot, but this was Nick Caserio being asked about making big splashes and bringing in big names.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't really know what that means. I think, you know, when you put the team together, you look at the opportunities that are presented in front of you. I mean, what, Devin Singletary, was that not like a big enough name last year, I guess?
No.
So, again, no. We're looking for good football players with the right mindset that come in here, espouse our philosophy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but Nick, it's the same, like what he's talking about, that maybe is a clumsily way to ask the question, maybe, or wording, phrasing. I can identify, because I have asked some clumsily phrased questions in my time. But he knows what he's getting at. You know what he's talking about. He's talking about in the difference between a Devin Singletary and a Joe Mixon. Or how about the answer that D'Amico Ryans gave when he got some pushback or at least some questions about Stephon Diggs? Like, you know, when DJ Bieniemy asked, hey, what is it about Stephon Diggs' game, what you saw on film, to where the drop-off in production toward the end of the year is the reason why, you would still want to pursue this guy?
Yeah.
And D'Amico's answer was essentially that, doggone it, he's Stephon Diggs. You know, it, more or less. Like, hey, we watched the tape. We know who he is. All pro, Pro Bowl player multi-times. Like, it's not hard. So, like, that's what we're talking about. Guys who you'll sign even despite the narrative or even despite the outside perception, because – that's a name. That's a brand right there.
So unjustifiable hardo.
Yes, I think so. Hey, talking about the dude, are you going to sell any of their jerseys? I know Nick's not a part of that. But is your marketing team, your business team, are they going to sell Stephon Diggs jerseys?
Probably.
You think they're going to sell Danielle Hunter jerseys, especially being a local dude?
I ain't buying no Danielle Hunter.
You might not buy one, but they're going to be Danielle Hunter jerseys.
Figgy,
out
you
there.
Buying a Danielle Hunter?
Nah, I'm not.
All right.
But I ain't mad at somebody if they do.
That's what I'm saying. Cool, he'll be a big enough player. You know, you go out to the West where he's from, and Katie, maybe you'll see more of him. But I'm just saying, like, these are big enough names. You won't look anybody sideways if they show up with one. It won't be as weird as, like, seeing somebody with a Blake Cashman, or, no disrespect, but a Jonathan Grenard one. You know what I mean? Like, that would be a little bit more odd if they're not related to him.
Here's my question, and this is a very inside the press box ish type question. So next week from today, they're having the draft party, right?
All right.
Are they going to send players out? Because last year they sent out the second year guys. Year before that, they did that. Are they going to send players out, or are they just going to kind of keep it?
For the draft party?
Yeah.
I could see them send, because remember last time you had like Garrett Wallow and
Last year. Last year was Stingley and
I was thinking a couple years ago.
No, that's King and Green, Christian Harris.
That's the year they brought out Brevin Jordan and all of them.
Yeah, you talked. Yeah. That's the year before.
Yeah, they brought in second guys. Yeah. I heard that Jack Easterby was got overruled on that, and that he wanted to, and I'm not kidding you, he wanted to send out Reeves Maben, Derek Rivers, and Rex Burkhead, and basically they were like, buddy, we're sending out the second year guys. Are you kidding me?
Reeves Maben?
Yes.
And Burkhead?
Yes.
You want to talk about being
Derek Rivers.
You want to talk about being tone deaf? Derek Rivers is another funny one, but
yeah,
Burkhead specifically, and it ain't personal with Burkhead, but the disconnect, the not understanding of how much of how that strikes a chord with people. Yeah. Like, that is bad enough that you not only brought him in, but that you emphasized him in the offense, and like, that's not offensive enough, but you want to trot him out there.
Wanted him out there at the draft party, brother.
Bruh.
That's what he wanted.
Nah.
It's weird on the streets.
Come on, bro.
Ain't pulling that out of nowhere.
Man. Yeah. Better days ahead, dog.
It's weird on the streets.
Better
man.
Days ahead. That's right. I do think that they'll bring out players, though. Why wouldn't they? I mean, that worked out just fine.
I mean, I don't think CJ and Will should have to do that.
They might, but I
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying last year it was all the second years. I don't think CJ and Will should have to do that.
But do you not think they've got enough players? Like, Titus could do it. Like, Titus likes to be...
Man, go play video games.
That's what I'm saying. It was a better use of his time? What's a better use of his time? Out there mingling with the people on draft day or sitting up on Twitch or whatever it is that he does. So, yeah, no, I think somebody, like, it doesn't have to be CJ and Will, but they got enough players.
I think Petrie needs to be out there.
There you go.
Petrie needs to be out there, man.
Petrie out there.
Get out there.
Yeah, Kenyon Green, another year.
Kenyon, you get out there.
You got to go out there again.
Yeah, it's a big enough. It's enough. All right, Petrie, you're out there. Kenyon Green, you're out there.
Damian Pierce would be great.
Nah, he didn't got to do it.
He would do, but he would do so great out there.
Nah, he would, but I don't want to put him in that position. He's got to focus. Mechie, you can go hold it down.
Oh, man, I don't want to sideshow Mechie. I don't want to sideshow Mechie.
Nah, let him go out there.
Talk about needing the focus.
He'd be a great
That brother
great
need to focus.
Too. Yeah. They got plenty of dudes that could go out there, man. Come on now. What is Aziz Al-Shaair doing these days?
Weeks is always willing.
There you go.
Get out there, Weeks.
Didn't they bring Fairbairn back?
Yeah, but I don't want him getting hurt. They might squeeze his hand too tight.
That's a good point. Keep Fairbairn in bubble wrap until literally week one.
Coming up, lunchtime confessions. I'm not going to lie, I'm open to bringing in another quarterback for the Texans. Let me explain next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, lunchtime confessions. We confess our sins to you, the Loophole. Shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are one. Some of these confessions have to do with sports. Some have nothing to do with sports. We're transparent with you 24/7. Let it hang a little bit lower during lunchtime confessions. It is time to confess. So I'm actually kind of open to the Texans taking another quarterback. Day three would be ideal. I don't think any round is too early. I think it's actually an important investment to make. And I look at backup quarterbacks like I do car insurance. Look, if you told me that I'm going to roll around all the time and I'm never going to get in a wreck and I'm never going to need anything done on the whip,
yep,
then, yeah, I probably don't need car insurance. But more times than not, we know that that is not the case. And, look, you draft a guy day three, whether it's Spencer Rattler, whether it's Travis out of Florida State, and they're definitely – they're guys that know from the beginning that they're not going to be playing. So Spencer Rattler, who goes to OU, probably gets a little bit frustrated that Caleb Williams is pushing him back. His egos are naturally in check.
Right.
So he's going there to develop. So you develop him for a year. Case Keenum, you got to think he's going to retire, if not this year, the following year. Davis Mills is in his fourth year, so he's in the final year of his contract. And you have a cheap backup quarterback that is a developmental guy. And let's be honest, if it doesn't work out, then you can do what you did in the case of Case Keenum and bring up a high-priced backup. Or you can even do that and keep these guys around because they're going to be on really cheap contracts. So I know they had Spencer Rattler in for the visit. I know there's some unrealized potential. But in a situation where Spencer Rattler's coming in knowing that he's not going to play, knowing that development is his goal, and knowing that he's going to be picking the brain and learning from Case Keenum, C.J. Stroud, whoever else, I'm not only open to the Texans drafting a quarterback, I actually very much encourage it. And the other step to this is DeMeco Ryans and Bobby Slowick, they were in San Francisco when the 49ers had Jimmy Garoppolo, and they just decided, yeah, we'll just take this Brock Purdy guy at the end of the draft, and he ended up being a pretty good player. Again, perfect world doesn't play at all, but it's like car insurance, and it's very, very low risk. So I'm actually open to the Texans taking a quarterback, given the state of the position and what you would be asking these guys to do.
What about the needs, Landry?
I don't care. That's a need.
You need a defensive tackle, Landry.
Hey, that's
a
need.
You need a cornerback,
that's
Landry.
A need.
You need a tight end,
hey,
Landry. You
that's
need a
need.
Running back, Landry. Why would you go get your quarterback and you already got C.J. Stroud, Landry?
Because
what about the needs?
It's a backup, man. I need it.
No, I'm
going to need a backup pretty soon.
I'm clearly joking, but
next year you're going to need one.
No, I'll say this, man. I respect the fact that you have given it this much thought, because you laid it out perfectly with the whole car insurance thing. Like, yeah, I'm good with C.J. Stroud as the quarterback, obviously, until somebody knocks his head against some cemented, ridiculous type of field like they do it, like they've got in New York or New Jersey, and he's out for two weeks or whatever. Now I'm like, whoa, okay, so Davis Mills, Case Keenum, whatever it is, if you don't like your backup quarterback situation, it's almost like you lose a little hope, right? Yeah. And it's naturally going to happen if you lose your starter, but it is worth it to invest in a backup. Like, no one thinks that Tyler Huntley is good, but when Lamar Jackson would get hurt and he'd go out there and hold it down, they at least felt decent about a quarterback that they picked up late or whatever the case may be. So I'm with you, and at least I don't necessarily have a quarterback. You specified Spencer Rattler. I don't know if I've thought about
it. Travis out of Florida State.
Yeah, man. Whoever it is, though, I do want them to give it a little bit more thought than
I'm not saying force it. I'm not saying force it. If they like any of these guys, though, go ahead and do it. It's worth it.
Yeah, it's still not a priority in my mind, but I respect at least thinking a little bit.
Well, next year it will be, because you won't have Mills and you won't have Keenum unless Mills wants to be the lifetime backup, which he might be.
Now, I do think that there are ways to get backups. We've seen, like, the guys who fall off, like the Steelers now got two backups, and one of them's going to start. They got Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. Like, I think a situation could, come up like that.
Jimmy, they want them to be starters, potentially.
No, I get it. I'm just saying that it's kind of the joke. Like, they found two backups in the offseason. So, I'm just saying, you can go find you one. Same case of, Jimmy Garoppolo. I thought if they might, kick the tires on him, he would obviously be more expensive than a mid to late round draft pick, but definitely give it some more attention. I'm with it. I respect this. Watch this. These are my confessions. I'm starting to think that James Click might have been on to something.
Oh no.
I'm starting. I know you guys kind of gave me the side eye when I thought this was a bit of an injustice, that he was wronged, and that I was afraid of the direction that the Astros were headed in. But I feel like that they were foreshadowing, and the writing was on the wall at the time when they let James Click go. It's less about James Click himself being this great GM. I thought he was a fine GM. I thought he was just fine. Not necessarily great or anything. He wasn't Luno. I get it. But what it signaled to me, letting him go or lowballing him on an offer and everything, it signaled this direction that the Astros were going in that we all, I think, agree at this point we're not exactly comfortable with, where it's more of the jocks against the nerds instead of the jocks and the nerds working together, which is the way I feel like it should be. I feel like it was that way at a time. And now, instead of like having a general manager, Jeff Luno, James Click, or allowing Dana Brown some autonomy, there's this kind of brain trust that is sort of puppeting or making puppets out of the general manager and the actual manager in the clubhouse. So I don't know, man. I'm starting to kind of feel a little bit validated in being on Team James Click in that situation, despite the fact that Jim Crane is the best owner in Houston pro sports history.
It's very fair, and in my defense, I did not know that James Click was going to leave, and that meant Jeff Bagwell got to oversee the team for a full offseason.
That was kind of what it meant, though.
It's kind of what it meant. I did not have the foresight to realize that's where we were going.
Yeah, man, not good.
All right, I'm not saying, and I'm not saying it's as costly, but I will say, if Jack Easterby were running the Houston Texans still, I feel like it might go like this uniform process has gone when it comes to leaks.
You think?
This just doesn't feel.
Do you think he's still around pushing some buttons?
No, I don't at all.
No chance.
He's long gone. Yeah. But it just does feel like with these. I mean, one leak is one thing. Another. A pushback. Seven videos at once. For whatever reason, on Monday. But I don't think that we can define this as a smooth process. It's not operating, because think about it this way. When is the last time that we heard a leak from the Texans football ops or anything else? Yeah. And that was one of the things that Hannah McNair said herself. Like, when was the last time that we've heard of a leak? Like, it is the most tightly wound.
Everywhere.
Yeah, it's very tightly wound.
And we are getting uniform leak after 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 uniform leak.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's Easterby like. I'm not saying it's as costly, but it is. It is getting a little bit to be a little bit of a comical process.
Yeah, and to differentiate here, and this might be getting in the weeds of media lingo here, but we're talking about the difference between just say news breaking. So like newsbreakers get news, you know, break news or everything. But we're talking about leaking stuff that they don't want to be news, stuff that they didn't want to get out there. Like, they trade for Stephon Diggs. They're going to announce that pretty soon. So that'll get, quote-unquote, leaked. That's news. We're going to find it out.
Yeah.
This sort of thing is different. You know, it's a different
it's kind
type
of funny.
Of, it's a different type of leak, and I think it's along the lines of what you're saying.
I mean, y'all
saying.
Are having a full party for it, and now we pretty much know what they look like. Think about it. I mean, and I mean, even, like, just having the party is kind of a lot. I mean, you're having a draft party and a uniform party. And, oh, by the way, we already know what the uniforms look like now because we got the third league. Just telling you.
I got the internet going nuts.
Both of them. These are my confessions. So my kids had star testing this week. Okay. All right. And so I'm at that stage of parenting of where the kids are taking standardized testing. And my confession is, like, I feel like I do a decent enough job of paying attention to their academic affairs, but I got no clue on how to prepare them for the star test. And really, the confession is, I kind of forgot that it was even this week until it was the day of. I feel like I should be better off.
Wow,
but I'll say this though. Proud of my kids for knowing. Proud of my kids for being ready. I asked them how it went. They had gone to tutorials. They had already done all of the, everything that they needed to do. They picked up the slack that I feel like I should have been picking up myself. But, I let time get away from me. I was like, oh, Star, that's this week? That's this week? That's today? Rough, man. And I feel like the Star test is way harder than what we had, the TOS test or the tax test or whatever era you from a standardized testing. This Star thing is kind of treacherous, man. So shout out to the kids, man. I'm sorry I wasn't there, but I gotta confess that, man. I did not do my part, did not do as well as I needed to do to get my kids ready for star testing.
It's Lunchtime Confessions live at the Chevron Championship, the Women's Masters at the club at Carlton Woods in the Woodlands. Coming up next, a saying that needs to go away, at least according to yours truly, and a sporting event tradition that better not go away. In the Loop continues next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents live from the LPGA Chevron Championship. It's In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right. A saying that might need to leave and something that happened at a sporting event that I think should stick around. Matter of fact, I think you might need to crank it up a notch. It's one thing that does not need to be replaced. I'm going to start with the saying. I heard Nick Caserio say this a couple of times. I pride myself on canceling out dated sayings that I just think we say that really don't have a lot of sense. We don't make decisions in a vacuum's got to go. I don't know where this started. No, I don't know how this going happened.
You're going hard on
us. We've got to move past that. We got to find something different than we don't make decisions in a vacuum.
But we don't, do we?
Let's stop. What are we doing here?
That's speaking to a specific question, though, isn't it? Like if they say, is it best player available versus position of need? Well, it's not.
Just say it's fluid. Just say it's a fluid thing and it's situational.
Nah.
It's situationally fluid.
That's the same thing.
I don't need to hear about vacuums. Like, we got to get – Lopez has said a lot of stuff, like, that doesn't make sense, where he just, like, repeats these sayings. And then he thinks because he cites that it happened in 1880 that is the way that it should be. And we've got to progress. Like, we're doing all types of things around here. We're making a lot of changes, some for the better. And this decision in a vacuum thing, we don't even need to hang that in the rafters. We need to throw that in the trash.
All right. So this one's
got to go.
Throw the phrase in the trash, if you will. But let's be honest about it. Let's just tell the truth. You do appreciate and are glad that they don't make decisions in a vacuum, though.
I don't know.
To be clear,
I'm glad that decisions are situationally fluid. That's what I'm glad. I'm glad that it's fluid and that Nick Caserio is allowed to adjust. Decision in a vacuum. We got to let that go.
Do you know what a decision in a vacuum cannot be? Fluid. I'm just saying.
Just got to get rid of that.
I'm just saying.
You don't make decisions in a vacuum. Yeah. And you don't know what a diva is? Don't sit there and say something like, we don't make decisions in a vacuum, and then tell me you don't know what a diva is, brother.
Is it not is it diva to act like you don't know what a diva is? I feel like in trying to dispel or to knock down the concept of a diva, there was a little din. I don't think anybody would confuse Nick Caserio as attention-seeking or a diva necessarily, but that was kind of a diva move. I feel like I don't know what a diva is. I don't know what a big name player is. I don't know what any of this stuff is. I don't know what draft hype is. I don't know what a big name is. I don't like report cards, and I just don't understand. It was kind of diva.
Situations in a vacuum.
I liked it. I did like it. I did. I liked the energy. But come on, man, I see through you, dog. I see through you. I do.
We don't make decisions in a vacume. I mean, come
they
on.
They don't, Landry. Brother.
Come on, man. They don't. No make, kidding. You don't
they,
do anything in a
they
vacuum.
They don't make decisions in a vacuum, Landry.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this.
Retire that.
I don't know if you knew. In case you didn't know, Landry, they don't make decisions in a vacuum.
Next one, and this is something that I think needs to hang around. Man, I was walking into the Chevron Championship today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an expert on this event. I do have a nice appreciation for the Women's Masters. I do love that it's going to be in Houston until 2029. However, that did not stop me when I walked in from accepting the program that they offered me, the nice little pamphlet program.
Yep.
I know that a lot of things are done on the phone. And, I mean, hell, you don't even get ticket stubs anymore. I mean, you just scan the phone, which kind of sucks, too. I kind of miss the days of the ticket stub. Although some places will print it out and hand you a ticket stub, which is cool. But there's just something about walking into a game or walking up to a game and someone either handing you the program or you buying the program when you walk in, looking at the rosters, looking at the stories that they have, the features, all that. There's something to be said for the program at a sporting event.
I love how nostalgic and sentimental you were about this, and I do agree with you with the sentiment.
Sick.
But Figgy, you're gonna have to hit the music because I do have a confession that will either disappoint you or make you proud. Just an additional confession here.
Watch this. You see program.
So I agree with everything you just said, but I also like to take these because it's something extra to roll on.
Okay. Yeah, well, I mean, you find your different use for it. That's fine. Yeah, that's good. I mean, it's nice. But also,
is it bad? Like, you think what you thought, and I agree with what you thought. Yeah. But when I get them, I'm like, all right, bet.
Yeah, put it on the table, go through the program.
I got a tray.
See, you used to walk up to a ball game, like if your father or mother or friend or whatever would take you to a game.
Yeah.
You'd walk up, and you would always like, who's going to be on the program?
Yeah.
Who's going to be on the program? Who are they going to put on? Oh, Charles Barkley's on the program. Yeah. Wow. Oh, my gosh. They got the Lakers. Is it going to be Kobe or Shaq? Who are they going to put on the program? Who
are they
going to put
on the program? Oh, dude, programs are huge. Like, I remember just on a small, much smaller scale, how big of a deal it was to have your name in a program if you were a part of an assembly or some type of program that had programs in it, written programs in it. You'd like to see your name. I know at funerals, they would like there would be like a family controversy on exactly who all to put in the program, the order of the kid. Like people love, at least in our era, love programs.
Yeah, got to have the program.
Sucker for a good program.
How do you feel about the program, Fig?
I'm cool with it. Sometimes it bothers me because like I try to take it, and I know I'm not going to use it when I get home.
So you just take it just to take it? Or?
Yeah, I try to take it to be nice. I don't want to just leave it because I know they worked hard trying to put that stuff together.
And I respect it. Like just about maybe a week or two ago, my mom hands me a funeral program of a guy who I was vaguely familiar with as a teenager. He was the husband of her boss. So, like, we had socialized, but this isn't somebody's funeral program I necessarily got to have. But she handed it to me, and I was like, you know, I appreciate this. This is you valuing the program. It's me valuing the program. And I didn't know that he had passed away. And you know what? The next day, it was a rolling tray.
What about the church program? Now you're a slime ball. What about the what about the church program, and you're just trying to follow along? Wait, what song are we on? Are we on page? Are we at the bottom of the page or the top? Have we gotten through?
The issue with the church program is only when you go off program. When they start doing, you be like, hey, wait a minute. That song ain't on the program. It said an A and B.
Yeah, you're adding, man.
It said A and B selection, and this is
false advertisement.
And this is D selection.
Your church got a program?
Yeah, they give you like man.
You wasn't born. Bro, you wasn't born yesterday. Hey, my church has got programs.
Hey, my church ain't got no program, man. So
don't act
in 2024.
Like, yeah, but don't act like he's going to church, like some sort of hole in the wall church. His pastor's married to Shaq's ex-wife.
Oh hey, yeah, that's right.
Let's not sit here and act like you're just slumming it up.
I've been going there for 8 years, man.
Yeah, I know, but don't. But you just presented it like we were going. Nah, the church that Figgy's going to is a way bigger church than us. That's y'all's thing.
The church I went to in Cleveland, Ohio, never had a program, man. So you'll be sitting there.
Yeah, no. You got to use it as a fan too.
No, they never did a program.
Well, so wait, someplace it's a fan.
100%. You got to stick on the end of the program.
Yeah.
So wait,
someplace you got a fan.
I just thought about this. Are programs a Southern thing?
He says his church doesn't have it, which is crazy.
Well, they probably got more Instagram followers than the churches that we go to have a congregation.
No, I'm talking about my original church when I went to as a kid.
Yeah. Oh, you're not talking about the one now?
No, I wasn't talking about the one now.
Okay. Oh, the original, okay.
My original church, we never had. We'd be sitting there until 2 o'clock and trying to figure out when it's going to be over.
Oh, well, that's probably why.
Knew the songs they were performing and all that stuff. Yeah,
they didn't want to promise y'all the wrong thing because they knew they wasn't going on no script.
Yeah, your church now probably hands you a damn iPad or something like that.
I wish. I wish.
Right there, going down the hymns and stuff like that.
Shout out to the Lighthouse Church, man.
Yeah, shout out to it, man.
Yeah, man, I don't think I ever been to a church with no program.
Yeah, you got the program's the best, man. Yeah. You look through it, just kind of sitting there.
Even the big church I went to, the church I grew up in, had out in Windsor Village, had like a big sophisticated program. It was actually too big, if you want to be honest. All these different prayer requests, all these different events. It felt almost like a pamphlet, but they had one.
The baseball ones are kind of rough because, like, if you get fortunate enough to where you pick to go to a series, like, let's say you, and I don't know if every stadium does it, but it's the same program for the whole series.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, man, I wanted to try to get a program this time. Damn it.
Yeah.
Pujols is still on there. Man, I don't need that. What are we doing here? There are all kinds of good programs. Like the best program, this is back in the day. This was like back in the old school WWF days. Like old school, like when you would go to a house show. So you'd go to the house show, and this was like pre-internet. This was before, like, this might have even been, like, on the fringe of, like, Rock and Stone Cold and them getting popular.
Yeah.
But you'd walk into the house show, and you might know a couple matches, but you'd get the program, and it was, like, the WWF magazine, and inside they would have a card, and they just have the list of the matches. Mm. So you'd be walking, Figgy, you'd be walking into this house show, and you wouldn't even know what was going on, and you just open it up, and it would be like Intercontinental Championship match between so and so and so and so, the mixed tag match, and it would just, man, it was like heaven.
That's cool. Yeah, I do wonder, kind of.
I think programs could stick around. I don't know. Like, I've always asked, like, are CDs, is there any chance that, like, with the way that people are with, like, vinyl and stuff, is there any chance that CDs come back? I could see it maybe happening just because of the CD book or something. Maybe not. But I don't think programs will go away.
Now, what is the big difference between program nostalgia and back of the baseball card nostalgia? Because I feel like the main one is
these jerks now, and they won't admit it, but like the card collectors now, and I say jerks, but like back in the day, the baseball card meant something, and I'm talking like 90s, but now right. these jokers who get baseball cards, they're basically just seeing if they got a jersey card or a patch or something. They're opening it, and they're just trying to get it, and then as soon as they get it, they're thinking, oh, I got to get this graded. Like they're not even looking at stats, and quite frankly, they probably know the stats, like, because they can just look them up immediately. But like back in the day, you look like that. Jeff Bagwell really is dating himself talking about the back of the baseball.
Oh, 100%.
Because like you can even go to like the two. This started in probably like 2000. Card collectors helped me out. You would jersey card maybe 1 in 200, one every box or something like that, and maybe you get lucky. But now it's like these guys just open cards and they're just like basically flip. They aren't even looking at the commons. The commons are basically like trash.
I want to either myself or have somebody introduce Jeff Bagwell, and I'm not sure he would be open to it. Maybe he would just scoff at it because he is Jeff Bagwell after all. He's a Hall of Famer. You know, he's forgotten more about baseball than the rest of us.
I've heard him say that a couple times.
But I would like to introduce him to StatCast and see how it compares to the back of a baseball card.
Probably
like,
not terribly.
Like real-time information, more specific information, better defined information, how he'd like to compare that to the back of a
baseball
card.
Now, I will say this. Mine would be blown. I bet he likes programs, though.
I bet he loves him a good program.
I
bet he loves him a good program.
Coming up, let's go around the NFL. An interesting claim about Stephon Diggs from his former team, the farting GM, and a lot more, including a real useful nugget. I think this was very well said by someone we used to hate around here. Around the league next.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.